Want to experience Christ United like never before? Download our app today. You can watch live and previous messages, take sermon notes, get calendar updates, find giving options, and more. Just go to your app store and search Christ United.
Thanks for joining us today. For more information on our church, check out christislove.org. Or you can connect with us on Facebook, Twitter, and Instagram by following at ChristUnitedMB. Thanks again for listening. We hope you enjoyed today's message.
Hey, if God's been good to you, will you give him what he deserves right now? Half the people are still at home sleeping, so let's let them hear us. Give him what he deserves. We are so glad that you're here. I'm Jeff. I'm lead pastor here at Christ United, and this place rocks. What God is doing through Christ United is literally working around the world, and you're a part of something that is changing lives in numbers that are going to begin to grow beyond what you ever thought possible. And you need to be a part of it. If you're a guest here, we encourage you to stop by the Connect Center because we've got a gift for you. We want to just welcome you to Christ United. If you're a follower of Jesus, how many people here are saved folks, followers of Christ here? Here's the truth. Saved people serve people. If you're not serving right now, like radically deep into service, then we encourage you next week. Next week, 10 o'clock, in the back end of this building, we have a class called Serve. It's a chance for you to jump in and you to get plugged in using the gifts you've got to change lives in the name of Jesus. And that's what we're doing here. In fact, on the 26th, we have a celebration night. That's just a couple of Sundays away. We're going to get together here. We're going to have a big bonfire. We're going to bring in some partners in ministry that are committing themselves to being a part of what God is doing through this church. I promise you plug in to be a part of this church and it'll be the most exciting adventure you've ever been on in your life, because what God's getting to be doing over this next couple of years is going to blow your mind. And so we want you to be a part of it. We invite you to come on the 26th and celebrate a bunch of people who are giving themselves fully to it, but also to celebrate what God's doing. We got a brand new building coming out back. You're going to learn a lot about that night. Got some great things happening for you to be a part of. One of the greatest things that God is using, he's not just using it to change us. It's now being replicated in other congregations and other denominations, even in other states. It's now in three languages. C Groups is rocking, y'all. It is changing lives on a whole another level. It's the easiest thing I've ever seen. It's the most impactful and profound experience I've ever seen for just giving people an opportunity to actually help make disciples, help people become followers of Christ, and actually equip them to in turn do that for others. It is amazing what God is doing. And so many people have felt resistance. It's normal to feel resistance when something new comes along. There's one lady that's precious to me. Her name is Louise, and she was loaded with so many things. The first things that she's going to say in the video you're about to watch is, I was committed. I'm not going to be a part of a life group, of a C group, because I already had too many things going. And then listen to what her experience has been.
Hi, my name is Louise, and I'm here to just make a confession. Pastor Randy and Pastor Jeff had both talked about C groups, and I had made up my mind that I wasn't going to be in a C group. And Pastor Jeff came to our ladies group. Next thing I knew, I was in a C group. And I'm telling you guys, I resisted this, and it was one of the best things that's happened to me. These women have become, they were acquaintances of mine, and suddenly they've become wonderful friends and companions. And I am just grateful for the wisdom and the insight that Pastor Jeff and Randy had in asking us to do these C groups. And I've enjoyed it so much that I actually started a second C group, and I just am grateful that pastors challenge us regularly. So if you've not been in a C group, really, I know they keep saying C group, but it's really worth your time. So God bless you guys.
In the Connect Center, you'll see the C group central table. Somebody can talk to you about how to get started. It's the easiest thing you will ever do, okay? It's really amazing. But also on the tables as you exit the sanctuary, there's some cards there. It's a C group guide and then a question and answer, an easy start guide. You can grab one of those on your way out. Now, being a part of this is actually resulting in lives being changed. I mean, literally lives being changed. People coming from darkness to light, people beginning to learn to follow Jesus, people beginning to put their faith into practice. Change is so big that parents are noticing the difference in their kids changes so different that wives are noticing the difference in their husbands and husbands in their wives. And so it's going to be phenomenal as God works in your life through it. Well, changing lives is what Christ United is all about. We're really seeing God change the world one relationship at a time, and you get to be a part of that. And so every week here, I'll probably say a week doesn't go by when somebody doesn't make a step of faith, either in this service or outside of it as people are reaching out to friends and loved ones in the process. God changes lives through Jesus Christ. He brings brand new life. The old goes away and a brand new life comes when Jesus comes into a life. A great example of that is in a dear friend of mine that I am so blessed to introduce you to, and that's Carl Dukes. If you have never met Carl, you're going to hear what Jesus can do to change a life today through our precious brother, a beautiful gift to us in this congregation. Also, in fact, we're C-group bros, right? And so we have the opportunity of connecting in C-groups that are side by side on Thursday mornings. He comes over at 6 o'clock on Thursday mornings, driving probably 45 minutes or 40 minutes to get there, to be there at a 6 o'clock C-group in the morning. That's how much of an impact that has. And so as Carl makes his way, just prepare your heart, because God is going to show you his power to change a life.
Man, they got my introduction music, huh? Got me feeling like I'm about to play a ball game, you know? Got my heart beating fast, got my adrenaline pumping, I'm ready to roll. Let's do it. I like it. But guys, some of you may know me, some of you may not know me, okay? I'm from Conway, South Carolina, 12 to 15 miles up the road, heading south. I graduated from Conway High School back in 2007. But guys, I'm gonna tell you my life, I'm gonna tell you my story, I'm gonna tell you how I became who I am and how I made it to where I am, okay? 9 years old, guys. I was 9 years old when I first entered the juvenile system, okay? My dad was addicted to crack cocaine, all right? He was, he had that disease that he just couldn't shake. No matter how hard he tried, he just couldn't shake it. It'd be times where he'd get locked up and go to prison for a few years, a year or two, or some months, or whatever the case may be. Come back, he's clean. But a few weeks later, he's back on it, okay? And my mother, she worked hard as she could, still to this day. One of the hardest working people I know. She worked at Seacrest. It's right on Ocean Boulevard. Been there 20-something years. And I done watched that woman work a month and a half, sometimes 2 months straight, maybe one day off. And sometimes working 7 days a week. Depends on the season. I mean, she'll work 7 days a week nonstop, and wouldn't complain one time. You know, I watched that. My sister, she's 5 years older, okay? So we was always different, you know, girl, guy, you know, we ain't gonna hang out too much. So therefore, I always kind of did my own thing. Had a lot of cousins, a lot of close friends. And the reason why we were so close growing up, because one, either they daddy smoked crack, or they mama smoked crack, both of them smoke crack. So therefore, we bonded together to raise each other. So therefore, growing up, I never had much of a childhood because I felt like I had to take on a lot of other responsibilities at an early age just because of the environment and the culture I grew up in. I'm from Race Path. Some of you may know where Race Path at in Conway, but Race Path is one of the worst areas in Conway. And on Race Path, my grandmother, was a bootlegger. She would sell gin, half a pint, Lord Calvert, half a pint, Budweiser, anything you want, snacks, all that good stuff. So she was pretty much the heart of the area. So I would watch her hustle. So I grew up around a hustling family. So by the time I turned 13, I started selling crack cocaine. And the reason why, I felt like, you know, I got tired of cracking that door open and watching my mama, you know, just sitting there with the, you know, the bills in her hand, just shaking her head, not knowing really how she's gonna make ends meet. Because my mother never graduated high school. My dad never graduated high school. My sister never graduated high school. So guess what? School, that's the last thing really on my mind at this time. I mean, I grew up around a lot of hustlers and dope fiends and all these other good, all these other type of people that was just in my environment, in my culture, was my everyday people. And most of these people was either my uncles or my cousins or my cousin dad or so forth. So most of them was family. So therefore, my motivation and my outlook on life was a lot different from a lot of my peers at that time. So therefore, I'm 14. At Conway High School, I always loved sports. Always loved sports. That was always my thing. I was always very athletic, very fast, but short, but fast. That's all right, though. Hey, that's okay. But so my freshman year, Coach Jordan pulled me to the side. He was like, "Dukes, I can't have you a part of this football team anymore." And the reason why, because your influence on a lot of the other guys are so strong that you lead them in the wrong direction. So therefore, I was snatched off the football team. So school already been the last thing on my mind anyway. The only reason I was going to school was to play ball. But once that was taken away, I really didn't have much of a motivation to go to school. So I would go every now and then. But the times I would go, I would always end up in some kind of trouble. The principal at Conway High School at the time was Rick Maxey, Dr. Rick Maxey now. He's a superintendent of Horry County Schools, okay? And the assistant principal was Trevor Scroderman, okay? And these two guys, probably had their own personal desk in their office just for me, because I was in their office almost every day when I went to school. But these guys, I really put these guys through the ringer. And eventually, these guys put me out of school. And so I quit homebound stuff because they wouldn't send me to the alternative school because I was, again, so much of a situation starter, they would call it. I had a lot of behavior problems. And the reason why, I didn't have much, growing up, I never really had much guidance or someone to teach me how to do things right or respect and all this other good stuff. So therefore, if my mother or my dad could tell me what to do, I always felt like nobody else was gonna tell me what to do. So Carl Anthony Dukes did what he wanted to do when he wanted to do, okay? And I will always make that known also. So therefore, I quit school pretty much my whole freshman year. But that following summer, I got sent back up the road. Okay, so now I'm in Charleston. So I'm sitting in the pod. I'm bored to death. It's like 30, 35 hours. I get tired of watching Wheel of Fortune, Spin the Wheel. So I'm like, okay, man, I got to, find a way to get up out of here. So the pastor came one day. And the pastor was actually in another pod. So I was like, okay, man, it's a time for me to get out this pod to go see my boys on the other side and then, kind of hang out a little bit, squish the scenery up. I wanted to squish the scenery up. So therefore, I said, okay, I'm going to go to church. So I went to church. Usually when I go to church, I'm in the half sleep. I'm in my buddies in there cutting up, doing whatever. Not really locked in, paying attention on what the pastor's saying. But for some reason, the pastor said this one thing that really caught my attention. The pastor said, each and every last one of you guys in here should be dead. But God decided to give you all a second chance. And for some reason, at that moment, God started showing me visuals in my mind and some situations that I've been in previously, and how I never really should have made it out of it. And that's how I started seeing. I was like, because when you're in the streets, you move so fast. You really don't have time to think about this or that or how you made it out of that or this. You just keep moving forward. You just keep moving. You don't think about what just happened. You just keep going. But now that I'm sitting in there, I actually had time to think. And I knew at that moment that was actually how God saved my life. Because I was going so fast, there's no way I would have made it at the C-18. By the time I was 16, by the time I was 14, I carried two of my cousin caskets. But by the time I was 16, I carried another one, so I had to carry three caskets by the time I'm 16. Same way, that store that's right on Race Path, right on the corner, right across the street from where that pawn shop used to be. That store still shut down to this day because my cousin got gunned down at that store. He got gunned down right at that store, that Safeway store. It no longer opens because of that. So God was just showing me these deals. And then, I kept listening to the pastor speak. I kept listening. Now he's talking about God. I'm like, this God thing, okay, I'm listening to what this God thing is all about. Because where I'm from, I mean, you don't really talk about God much. And if you do, it ain't really as solid and as clear about where they're coming from about God. So I'm listening. And the pastor's saying, he's saying, God could be this guy that could be your friend. God could be a father to you. God could be a healer. God could be a protector. God could be a provider. God could be a supporter. God could be everything that you need him to be. And most importantly, he could be a father to you. It will also lead you in the direction that you need to go. And so at this point, I'm 14. But man, I feel like I feel like I'm going on 26, 27. Kind of live so fast, so quick. And at this point, I ain't got nothing to lose. Everything I done tried really wasn't working. So why not try this God thing? Let me see what this God thing really all about. Okay? So I talked to the pastor afterwards. He and I, you know, just talking, and he actually led me to Christ that same day. I accepted Jesus Christ as my Lord and Savior. Things didn't just... Good, that's it. You got to give it to him. That's right. I didn't see things change for me right away. When I first saw God working in my life is when I got released. And I was living with my Aunt May at the time, which I actually lived in Cochran. My grandmother lived on Race Path. I lived in Cochran Projects, okay? Cochran Projects was the project part of the worst part of Conway. Okay, so everywhere I went, I was in that environment, that culture. But my Aunt May took me to my hearing, okay? And I'm saying in my mind and thinking in my mind, there's no way these guys are going to let me back in school. Because before they released me, they told me I'd never be able to get back in public school system again. So I'm sitting there, I said, okay, I know these guys are going to send me until I turn to school. It's all good. I go and knock these 45 days out and come on back. But little did I know, those guys decided to give me a second chance and accepted me back in school right away. I had a contract. Okay, I had to play sports all year. So that's how I also end up wrestling. Because I had football, then I had wrestling right afterwards. And then after wrestling season, it's time for spring ball. So I had to go all year to stay busy. But then also, my grades had to stay to a certain point. My behavior had to stay to a certain level. My tardies and absences had to be a certain amount, you know, for me to hold that contract. But the contract, I already made up in my mind what I wanted to do. And once I made up in my mind what I wanted to do, it wasn't no stopping me. Because one, I knew who I had with me. I felt a whole nother power inside of me that always propelled me and always allowed me to block out a lot of the negativity that was going on around me at the time. Even though I came into my same environment, but my focus and my mindset was a lot different. And I was able to push through it. And I graduated high school. My coming out of high school, football was, yeah. Thank you. Football was really my thing. But man, 5'7", 175 pounds, and nobody wanna give me a shot, you know? So I said, okay, that's okay. But wrestling, I could have went to Citadel or Newberry for wrestling, but it wasn't my thing, so I didn't go. So I decided to go to North Greenville University. And walked on, okay, became a 3-year starter. You know, I walked on over guys that was transferring in from Carolina and Presbyterian College, all these other D1, AA, and D1 schools, bigger size and all, but their heart. My heart was a little different than them. My understanding on what I really wanted was a little different from them. So I outworked them, out-hustled them. Effort, you can't teach it. I had it in me. Earned that spot, earned that scholarship. And the reason why, I knew what was inside of me, and I knew what I believed in. But most importantly, I knew where I came from, and I always use that as my motivation, still to this day, to continue to encourage me and motivate me no matter how hard things get. Because right now, the life I'm living now is easy. Growing up was hard. That was the hard part. All this other stuff is easy. I didn't develop a certain mindset and grind about myself that I refuse to let anything jump in front of me to stop me right now. I refuse to, all right? Because I know where God's trying to take me. So guys, I graduated college. First of all, at the high school, I was like, man, huh? Like I said, my mom didn't graduate high school, my dad didn't graduate high school, my sister didn't graduate high school. So I done broke generation curse already. So, you know, college and graduated college, I'm like, yes, I'm done with college. I'm done with college, good, I'm done, tired. But guess what? Guy said, son, you ain't done yet. You ain't done yet. So therefore, I got a phone call from from the head coach at North Greenville, wanting to bring me back as a graduate assistant, where you coach and they pay for your master's. So I said, dang, okay, well, hey, God opened that door. I know that's what he wants me to do, so I got to go, you know. So, you know, I knocked that out. 4.0, I finished that up a year and almost a year and a half, you know. You know, because, you know, it's funny how all this stuff worked out. So I finished that up, and God opened up a door for me to go in law enforcement for a little bit. Okay, I became a gang coordinator for South Carolina. I was working in Lee County Prison. 9 uniform officers go in and work with a lot of the big-time gang members, bring these guys to the table, try to defuse a lot of their situations through education, okay? So I would open up and get these guys in work keys, get these guys in GED programs, get these guys in vocations, such as electrician, culinary, carpentry, welding, all this good stuff to keep these guys busy and to help these guys see that it ain't about the mistake you made. It's about understanding the mistake you made and learning from it. But now you're at a place now you got to better yourself to move forward. So when you get the opportunity to get out these doors, now you got something behind you that you can move forward. And so that was my thing. That was what it was about with me. Okay, so I went in there. But the funny thing is, this is how I've been working. The funny thing is, a lot of these guys that was in my programs was actually guys that I was in the system with back in the day. So a lot of these guys knew who I was, and they respected that. And that's why I was able to motivate and encourage these guys to believe and move forward, and they all brought into it just because of knowing who I was. I had that relationship with them. And you know, it's funny how God has orchestrated all these things to come together. So therefore, I did that for a few, and then I finally went back to the school system. Okay? So now I'm back in the school system. I'm at North Myrtle Beach High School. Okay, I'm teaching special ed. Also the head wrestling coach. I think I got some of my wrestlers here also. And also got some of my football guys here also. Yeah. But guess what, guys? You guys are gonna like this part. Guess who the principal is at North Myrtle Beach High School? Trevor Scroderman, right? You know, that's crazy how all that worked. God has a way of doing things, don't he? Yeah. God, I mean, he has a way. And, you know, it's funny how it all just kind of fell in place. And once I got the system, he brought me my mama Cindy and my mama Patty. My mama Patty's not here, but her husband is here. And he's been like a father to me and, you know, been teaching me and leading me along the way. And my mama Cindy as well. And I'm very grateful for them to step in and lead me and teach me a few things that I didn't know. And so, once I gave my life to Christ, he really started bringing people in my life and orchestrating my path. But at the same time, using everything I went through to bring honor and glory to him, but also teach others that's from the same situation as me that it ain't about where you're from. I feel like I came from nothing. I feel like I had to work my way from the bottom on up. And I'm successful because, one, I believe in my Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. And for two, I made up in my mind that I ain't going to give up. I'm not going to stop working no matter what my situation is or what kind of cards that I was dealt. I'm going to keep rolling. I'm going to keep pushing it because I know where he's taking me and what he wants me to do. And it's the reason why I survive. It's weird because I was one of the worst ones out of the whole crowd. The ones I was like, but I was always wide open. And I'm the one that made it the farthest. See, that just show you how powerful God is when he take the worst of the worst and use them to bring honor and glory to his name. It just show you how powerful he is. But guys, what I want to encourage you guys to understand this, okay? God is our potter, okay? He's our potter, and we're the clay. And a lot of times, we don't know what's in our clay. We don't know what our clay makeup is. Because think about clay, you ain't no telling what's in it. But when your potter mold, pour a little bit of this and that in there to make it the way he need it, ain't no telling what you're going to become or who you're going to be able to affect. But the key is you got to allow him to be that potter. Because I'm telling you guys, at times, now I'm working on another master's degree. At times I'm like, dang, God, come on, man. Let me relax for a little bit. But evidently, he want me. I need this to do whatever the next step is that he want for me. I don't know what it is. And after that, you know, he may want a PhD out of me. I'm like, but hey, I don't know. But guys, what I'm saying is, whatever it is that he wants you to do, no matter what the work is, or how much time it may take you, or how hard you may think it is, understand it's a reason why he wants you to go through that situation. It's a reason why I went through a lot of the situations I went through. Because all that was part of my clay. We all got different clay. Some of us think we already molded and made. That's not the case. God is still molding you. God is still making you. He's still forming you the way he wants you to be. And he's going to continue to do that through your experiences and the opportunities that he gives you to make that difference for him. And I'm going to close with this right here, okay? I'm going to close with this. My wrestlers. Man, I tell you what, I be on their behinds, and they know it. I got a handful of them here. But what I teach and how I coach these guys, 33% of it is probably wrestling. The other two-thirds, one-third is their heart, and the other third is their mind. I teach these guys, one, how to be men, okay? How to take ownership when you make mistakes. How to be responsible. How to be disciplined. How to work hard. Don't look for handouts. Grind and go get anything that you want and everything that you want. Okay, I got several guys in the same weight class. But the best wrestler gonna win, I'll wrestle them off. The winner gonna wrestle in that weight class. And they know that. I don't give out anything. But most importantly, I hold these guys accountable. And these guys hold me accountable. You know, if I slip and forget to go over the word of the day or something like that, you know, these guys, hey, coach, you forgot the word of the, you know, my bad, let's do it. Whatever the case may be. But I'm glad God placed me in these guys' lives so that I can make that impact, so that I can teach these guys and motivate these guys and encourage these guys, because a lot of these young men that I coach daily don't have a father figure. And I don't take my platform lightly because I was once them. So I know what it's like not having that male figure around to teach you and show you different things. So therefore, to me, it's more than wrestling. Wrestling, that's 33%. Everything else, heart and mind. I got to give it to them because that's the most important thing that they're going to carry once they leave the high school. And again, Christ United Methodist, I love this place. Thank you guys for listening. I appreciate it. Okay.
I want to ask you to remain standing. There's an invitation that's coming to this altar. There are two different reasons. One is this, is that you, from the first time I met Carl, it's like, man, I can see why people just want to adopt him. You know, I mean, just like, God, just an awesome young man. I just want you to understand, there was a day when he was a rebellious, dangerous little kid that most people would write off and just say, I don't want him around my children. I don't want him near me. I want to avoid him. Do you understand what I'm saying? The reality is that what we see and what God sees is two totally different things. It's two totally different things. And you see Carl now, but you see some Carls now that aren't yet redeemed by Jesus. And there's only one group of people on the planet that even have the capacity to see them that way, and that's followers of Jesus Christ, because He will put His love in your heart for the people around you. In front of you are 3,000 names of people that you and people and others within this congregation have brought forward that you've looked at and you've said, this is somebody I love. This is somebody that God's put love in my heart for. And I know that just like Carl, God made them beautiful. Made them beautiful. He's got beautiful purposes for their lives. And all that needs to happen is for Jesus to get hold of their clay. You understand that? And so this altar is open. And over there on the sides at the crosses, there are places to get more banners. And I want you to pray, God, show me somebody I've written off. Show me somebody that right now I might even be afraid of or frustrated with. But God, teach me to love like you love and teach me to see what you see. Because you make beautiful, beautiful things when you make people. And if you get hold of somebody and you get hold of their clay, you form them into what it is you created them to be. So I'm hoping there'll be a lot of people here and maybe even coming down to pray. I hope you pray every day for the people you've put on these banners. If not, you need to start every day. And I want to encourage you to come down and pray for these and bring the names of others. If you write a name on the back of one of those banners and leave it here on the altar, we'll get it hung for you and we'll pray with you. That sound fair? So that's one reason for coming. But here's the other reason for coming that's even more important. Somebody, maybe many bodies in here, need to come and bring your clay. You just need to come and bring your stuff. And what Carl is saying is, he's not finished with your stuff. All you got to do is put it in his hands. You can go from juvie to working on your second master's degree and being a 4.0 master degree earner. You can go from being the kid who caused trouble in school to being the kid that's actually reaching others in school and bringing them up to the level that God's called them to be. God can do it in your life. He's not finished with you. So who here needs to come and bring your clay and say, God, I'm coming. I'm coming to kneel and lay it before you just like Carl did at 14 years old. I'm coming. I don't care if I'm 70. I'm coming and I'm bringing my clay and I'm saying, you take this life and you make it, because Jesus died so that you could have a brand new life. So that you could come and offer yourself to Him and He could wash away all your sin and He could take that clay and begin to mold you into who He created you to be. Don't you let anything stop you from making that step today and bringing your clay to Him that He can take it and make it what He wants it to be. So we invite you to come. One more time, can you give God a hand for what He said?
Thanks for listening to this podcast by Christ United. If you'd like to respond to today's message, or if you want to share how God is using this ministry in your life, please send us an email to media@christislove.org. Or you can connect with us on Facebook, Twitter, and Instagram by following @ChristUnitedMB. Thanks again for joining us, and may God bless you.